But of course, if a Christian went back to the synagogue, they escaped it. So all you had to do was say, well, I'm a Christian generally, but specifically I'm still a Jew. You know, and if you did this, you escaped the persecution. You didn't get fed to the lions. You didn't get painted with tar. You didn't lose your job. You didn't get your windows broken in. You know, it's easy for us to think of this because we don't have this in Singapore in 2008. But, you know, this was real. And now all they had to do was go back to the synagogue. But when they went back to the synagogue, they had to deny that Christ was the Son of God. They had to go back under the Old Testament prophets, which was all right, but under the condition that they began to return their back on Messiah. And that's part of the context of the book of Hebrews, that this tremendous temptation was given to them to go back. And of course, there was still the temple, was still there in Jerusalem. There was still temple sacrifice and all these things. And the letter of the Hebrews is written to say, look, there are two covenants. One is Moses' covenant. Look at it all it meant, and look at what it didn't mean. Look what it could not do. Now look at what Christ has done, and look at the greatness of Christ. And the key to the book of Hebrews is that Christ is so much better than Moses, the law, greater than angels, greater than Joshua, greater than all these Old Testament figures, greater than them all is Christ. And that's the center of the book of Hebrews. We'll look at that again in a moment. But the point for us now, you could say, well, that's interesting because that was written to Hebrews not to go back. The Jewish Christians don't go back, Hebrews. But it is written to us because we also will find, and this is the sad truth about Christianity, is that Christianity, when we talk about the Hebrews, we're not talking about just that small number of Jews who believe. We're talking about the tendency of the human heart to go back into outward religion. Now, when you ask yourself, what's the sign of having true religion? People say, what's the sign of having received the Holy Spirit? What's the sign of having received that? And they say, well, it's tongues or whatever it is. All these things are interesting, but the real sign of receiving the Holy Spirit is trouble. Because when you really go on with God, you get into trouble. If you just get religious, you don't get trouble. But if you go on with God, you're headed for trouble. And this is the point that the Hebrew writer is pointing out. If you want an easy life, just get a minimum of Christianity and then just settle down with that. Of course, somebody once said that of a certain person, he had enough Christianity to make him miserable and not enough to make him happy. Well, that's the danger, you see. You can just settle for enough to make you miserable. Spoil you. You can't enjoy the world and you can't enjoy the Lord. Why? Because you're trying to live somewhere in between. And what the book of Hebrews is really speaking to is to us now in this room. We're talking, after all, we are here in this room, aren't we? There's another profound thought. We're here and we're here tonight. So what's this saying to us? Not just what did it say to them all those years ago. What does it say to us? It says to us, look, you're facing a choice. Christ is so much better than anything that the Old Testament saints had. Even when they had angelic visitations, people say they're on their increase. Whether they are or not, it's not prophesied by the Bible. One thing is clear, angels can never be superior or even equal the ministry of Christ in the new covenant. The whole point about the old covenant was it was a ministry of angels by angels. They brought it. Angels still are operating. We find them in the book of Hebrews. But the message is, it's Christ. Now, we have this choice. Either we can go back into a kind of a superficial kind of Christianity, or we can go deeper. Now, when I study the book of Hebrews and I teach on it, I've given this overview here in section B on the notes. And I've got these three exhortations which really sum up the book of Hebrews. It's on page 6, I think, of the notes. If I can put my glasses on, I'll tell you exactly what page. Yes, page 6 of the notes is the blood of the covenant in Hebrews. And then we've got this exhortations. Now, they're at the bottom of the page. The three exhortations are, go on, go in, and go through. And as we see, as we look at this book, we'll see that really the new covenant gives us the power to go on in substantive holiness. Real holiness. The blood of the covenant is not just to make us acceptable to God by faith. It's actually to change us and get a hold of our actual life. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be accepted by being holy. But it does mean that this covenant not only forgives us, but opens to us a door of power to be actually made holy. And we'll look at that. The next exhortation is, we are to go in. Now, this is really the summing up of a truth that comes through the book of Hebrews. The new covenant is a deeper level of life. You may have heard it said, I've heard it said a lot of recent, that we need to go to a new level. When people say that, I'm not always sure what they mean, whether they mean some people say we need to go to a new level of more miracles or more prophecies or all kinds of things people talk about. But when you think of level and level and level, you can think of one level, two level. I don't know how many levels you think of, but here in the book of Hebrews, it does identify another dimension, if you like, another level, another dimension. And this dimension is a world you enter. It is another place you enter. It isn't far from us. In fact, you don't leave your seat to enter this world. But it is a world where different things are operating, and this world is revealed to us largely through the book of Hebrews, but also in other places in the New Testament. In other words, the writer is saying you've got to go on into the power of holiness. There is a power available for the Christian to make him holy. The second exhortation, there is another dimension of life. Really, we would call it in chapter 10, have faith to enter within the veil, the holiest of all. And he's talking about another world, the place where there's the throne, where there's worship, where there's the Spirit, and so on. We'll come on to that. We're going to look at that later on. These are the reasons Christ died, to take us into substantive holiness, to take us into another dimension spiritually, and thirdly, that we may have the strength to go through difficulties, trials,